from WBUR Boston and WRNI Providence, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. President Bush today introduced a sweeping new immigration proposal that would allow up to 12 million undocumented workers living and working in the United States to gain legal protections and join the mainstream economy.
Out of common sense and fairness, our laws should allow willing workers to enter our country and fill jobs that Americans are not filling. And I believe we can do so without jeopardizing the livelihoods of American citizens.
The president's proposal does not offer illegal workers full amnesty, but access to a so-called temporary worker program. They and workers now abroad could come to the United States for specific jobs that employers show they cannot find American workers to fill. The immigrants would be required to return to their countries when their work period, maybe 3 years, is over. The stakes, both economic and political, are high. Bush wants Hispanic votes. Some Republicans fear his plan will draw more illegal immigrants. Immigrant advocates say Bush does not go far enough. Tonight on Point, the president's big move to reform U.S. immigration. We begin in Washington, where Wall Street Journal White House correspondent Greg Hitt has been following the story. I asked him to outline Bush's new proposal.
The heart of the proposal is to create a new temporary work program for foreign nationals that want to come into the U.S. It would apply to potential workers who are not in the U.S. and to the 8 to 12 million workers who are already here.
And why is the president doing this? Why is he proposing it? Why now? What's the motivation?
The reasons are twofold. In the near term, he has a summit next week in Monterrey, Mexico, with leaders from across the Americas, including the Mexican president. And he has had the immigration issue on the back burner for some time and had pledged to move forward on this prior to 9/11, the terrorist attacks. Mm-hmm. So he's in some way following through on an early foreign policy pledge to take this issue on.
For his old friend Mexico's Vicente Fox.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Longer term, looking towards the end of the year, this is a big issue for America's Hispanic community. They have core issues like education, the economy that are important to them, but this is a hook for the president that gets him directly into the constituency.
So he's hoping to draw more Hispanic votes. He already drew many more in 2000 than Bob Dole did in 96, and that is a fast-growing constituency. As you report, it's grown from 2% of U.S. voters in 1988 to 7% in 2000, maybe 9% this year. That's a tremendous rate of growth.
It's very rapid and expected to continue. Both parties are fighting frantically for an edge. Democrats have historically had an advantage in that constituent group, but Mr. Bush has shown that he can pull votes for the Republican Party from the Latinos as well.
Greg Hitt, what are the pitfalls for the president in pushing this big immigration reform?
He alienates a vocal wing of the Republican Party that is anti-immigration and views these types of proposals as amnesty, rewards for people who have broken the law. He also, by taking the middle-of-the-road approach that he did, alienates activists on the left who want him to do more and be more aggressive in moving to help the undocumented workers who are here earn legalization.
So what makes the president's approach a middle-of-the-road approach, as you put it?
Well, he provides for a temporary work program for these foreign nationals, allows them to step out of the shadows and into the mainstream economy.
But only for 3 years.
Yes, and he asked Congress to consider a renewal period, but he doesn't specify because that's too controversial.
Mm-hmm.
And if Congress considered a renewal period that is long enough, say another 3 years or another three beyond that, that would provide the immigrant probably enough time to petition for residency status. But if they cut it off after three, residency is really not at the end of the tunnel.
So after 3 years, if they cut it off, then you're right back potentially in the underground economy.
Yes. I mean, the worker would be faced with the choice of losing assets here and going home or going back underground and staying here.
Greg, what about the economic impact of such a program? If it were put through more or less in the shape that the president has outlined, what would its effect be?
It would bring above ground what the president today called a massive underground economy. 200,000 or so workers that come across the Mexican border every year, estimates up to 12 million already here. These people are, most of them are working and holding jobs not paying taxes in the U.S. Fully, not paying into the Social Security system. The ramifications really are far-reaching.
Well, let's look at it at several levels. First, for the economy overall, does it make a difference to the American economy, whether it's above ground or below ground, in terms of robustness?
I don't know about robustness. I do know that the business community has invested a lot in the issue, and they want the president to go even farther in terms of setting up ease of access rules, ease of entry rules for potential labor.
So employers are generally welcoming this?
Yes, and they intend to push it strongly and likely will push to go farther, Congress to go farther than the president.
What about the implications for U.S. labor, citizen labor?
Organized labor, generally, they support the idea of finding a way to legalize undocumented workers who are already here, but they have big concerns about temporary work programs. They feel that that undercuts the labor market for American workers who want jobs.
And that would be the case not only for union workers, but for all workers in their view.
That's right.
Have economists spoken on that? Is it clear whether it undermines wages for all American workers?
Yes, but I think your perspective on that may depend on what political bent you bring to the debate. Part of the problem is that these kind of things are hard to dive into and understand because so much of it is underground. We don't have good hard figures on how many people are here, what they're doing, where they're working, how they get across. And so making judgments about issues like this are difficult because of that.
And Greg, finally, you've written that this faces an uphill fight in Congress. What do you think the chances are that this will ultimately emerge in something like the shape the president has put forward today?
Ultimately, that would be, in my opinion, a 2005 issue. In the near term, it's very hard to imagine that Congress would do something. In the Senate, any one senator can bring the place to a halt, and in an election year that can be problematic with a tight legislative schedule. But the problems are much deeper in the House. You have a very large block of conservatives, something on the order of 60 to 70 in the Republican Party, who are strongly opposed to this kind of proposal. They have big concerns that even the middle-of-the-road kind of proposal that the president embraced really is, in effect, a limited amnesty, providing a reward for people who came into the country illegally and have worked here illegally, sometimes for decades.
But it could be a long way between the proposal today and what ultimately emerges, a long time or perhaps a very different reality.
Well, I mean, a long time in Washington is relative. And, if the president proposed this and used the election to prompt a national debate on it and then forced action early next year, that would actually be a relatively short time frame by Washington standards.
True enough. May happen. We'll watch. Greg, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Greg Hitt is White House correspondent for The Wall Street Journal. He spoke with me from Washington. We're talking tonight about President Bush's new immigration plan. In his speech today, he outlined the temporary worker program.
I propose a new temporary worker program that will match willing foreign workers with willing American employers when no Americans can be found to fill the jobs. This program will offer legal status as temporary workers to the millions of undocumented men and women now employed in the United States and to those in foreign countries who seek to participate in the program and have been offered employment here. This new system should be clear and efficient so employers are able to find workers quickly and simply.
President Bush today on what would be the biggest overhaul of American immigration policy in nearly two decades. So are you for it? Are you ready to throw legal status and protections to illegal workers? Is it time to surface the underground economy? Do you believe there are millions of jobs out there that Americans do not want? You can join the conversation tonight at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Joining me now from San Diego, California, is Gordon Hanson, professor of economics at University of California, San Diego. He has written extensively on undocumented workers. Good evening and welcome, Gordon Hanson.
Good evening.
Thanks so much for joining us. Also joining us from Burke, Virginia, is Steve Camerata, director of research at the Center for Immigration Studies. He's testified on Capitol Hill on immigration policy. Good evening and welcome, Steve Camerata.
Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you. Gordon Hanson, to you first. What do you make of the president's proposal today as an economist when you look at this? What do you see? Is it all politics or is it a real answer to a real economic problem?
Well, I think it has the potential to be a real answer. As always, the devil will be in the details. But in its broad outlines, I think there's something sensible here. We have a population of 8 million illegal immigrants, and barring massive deportation, which is unlikely for many reasons, we've got to think of ways of incorporating these folks into the above-ground economy. This is one way to go about that, but for this policy to work is going to require a number of additional things to be worked out, with which President Bush has not put on the table yet.
Such as?
Well, if in order to prevent an amnesty from encouraging massive illegal immigration in the future, you need to change the nature of U.S. enforcement policies. In the past, Congress has been willing to enact tough laws. It has been unwilling to fund or implement tough laws.
So are you saying more border patrols or what?
Well, the not necessarily border patrols, because we've beefed up border patrols to a significant extent. But in the interior of the country, once you get across the border, the likelihood of being sent back to your home country is extremely low.
So there hasn't been enforcement in the workplaces around the country. I'm sure there are many other details to get to as well. But paint a picture for us, if you would, Gordon Hanson, of what this underground economy looks like. We're talking about 8, maybe 12, maybe even 14 million. I've seen all these numbers today. We have a general sense of what these workers are doing, but paint the picture for us.
Well, you know, here in San Diego, it's not an underground economy at all. It's an economy that we interact with on a daily basis through the services that these individuals provide in restaurants, in hotels, in construction, in yard care, in domestic help.
And that's probably not just in San Diego, as close as you are to the border. That's probably over much of the country, isn't it, at this point?
Well, that was the story of the 1990s, that the illegal workforce really spread itself over much of the country, whereas in the past it had really been concentrated in California, Texas, Florida, and a few other places. It's now a national phenomenon.
So you're talking service industry. We've also heard construction, and of course there's the agricultural group.
Of course, agriculture has the highest percentage of workers who are illegal immigrants, but it's a relatively small sector. The other thing that's happened in the last 10 or 12 years or so is a rapid increase in the presence of illegal immigrants outside of agriculture, in services and in manufacturing.
And Steve Camarota, the core of this, as President Bush described it, put forward today, was that these are jobs that Americans do not want to do, and that if employers can prove that or attest credibly to that, then why not reach out and find those willing workers and bring them in or make them legal to do the work?
Because it doesn't make any sense from an economic point of view. I mean, the fact of the matter is there's no such thing as a job that Americans won't do. What it is that employers don't want to pay more, they don't want to treat their workers better, and they don't want to offer the benefits. Now, it's perfectly understandable why an employer might feel that way, but nonetheless, that doesn't necessarily mean that government should respond to this desire to keep wages, benefits, and working conditions as low as possible. If we were to, instead of handing out legal status, we would adopt the alternate policy of actually enforcing the law, most people would go home on their own if they couldn't get jobs and driver's license and access social services. And one of the things that would happen, of course, is that wages and benefits and working conditions would improve for the roughly 13 to 15 million native-born Americans and legal immigrants who lack a high school education that are in the workforce.
Steve Camarota, let me ask you then, we just got a minute before the break, but if this goes through roughly as President Bush has requested today, what impact do you anticipate?
It probably, like that, we had another amnesty in 86, and it encouraged a lot of illegal immigration for a time, and that's probably what would happen again if we were to, again, say that we're going to give out legal status. And people would come, hopefully, either for this one or, hey, got to get in line for the next one, because that's obviously the way we're going to handle things. So we're not serious about our immigration laws.
So you're saying this isn't going to fix the problem. You fear it might actually aggravate it by bringing in more workers who would, at least for a while, be undocumented.
Right. I mean, all the available evidence suggests that when you communicate to people that you're not serious about your laws, you get a lot more people who break them, and so that's certainly what would happen
here. Steve Camerata, Gordon Hanson, please stand by. We've got to take a short break. We're talking tonight about President Bush's big new push on immigration reform to bring undocumented workers above ground to legally take the jobs he says Americans do not want. You can join the conversation tonight. Are you for it? Are you ready to throw legal status and protections to undocumented workers, illegal workers? Is it time to surface the underground economy, to clean up the exploitation and corruption there? We're at 1-800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking tonight about President Bush's big new push on immigration reform to bring undocumented workers above ground. We're joined tonight by Gordon Hanson. He's professor of economics at the University of California in San Diego. He joins us tonight from San Diego. From Burke, Virginia, we're joined by Steve Camerata. He's director of research at the Center for Immigration Studies. You can join the conversation as well. Undocumented illegal workers, does this do it for you? What do you make of the president's proposal? And citizen workers, do you feel threatened or relieved by the president's proposal? Do you believe there are millions of jobs out there that Americans don't want to do? You can join the conversation tonight at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Gordon Hanson, you're the economist. Let me put it to you. We heard earlier from Greg Hitt with The Wall Street Journal that employers very strongly back this move that would give legal status to workers, but it would also require that they be paid a proper minimum wage and have other protections, labor protections under the law. Why are employers so strongly in favor of this if it cuts down on their leverage and maybe increases the cost of workers from overseas?
I think for two reasons. One is that employers probably think this is a way of increasing the size of the immigrant labor force, which is something they're in favor of.
So in other words, you're agreeing with Steve Camerata that this would draw more workers into the country?
Well, I'm suggesting that employers may imagine that they'll be able to increase legal immigration and replace illegal workers with legal workers, perhaps, and continue to as a means of continuing to increase the overall level of immigration in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, though, this reduces uncertainty in the labor force. The problem with illegal labor is it is illegal labor. You have individuals who may not show up for work because of a deportation, because they're concerned about family situations at home. Through legalization, you create a labor force that you can rely on, that you can make investments in, that that becomes a more stable source of employment.
But you described a situation where essentially once illegal workers are in the country and away from the border, they're very rarely pursued already. So don't employers have a fairly stable, if potentially exploited, labor force right now?
Well, it's stable, but what we know about it's stable in terms of its of the aggregate numbers. But what we know is that a low-end labor force with low wages and an uncertain working environment is a labor force that tends to have pretty high turnover, and that's costly to employers. So that you may find low-wage workers, but there's no guarantee they're going to be around on a daily basis.
And what about Steve Camerata's point that this is a labor pool that keeps wages and benefits down in the United States? If better wages and benefits were paid for these jobs, Americans would do them.
Well, two responses to that. One, anytime you increase the labor supply, you are going to push downward pressure on wages. So I agree with Mr. Camerata on that point. But a secondary point is, suppose that we were to eliminate immigration. Would that magically raise wages for all American workers? Maybe a bit, but remember, we're an open economy. So if we're not going to import labor from Mexico, say, we're going to import the goods that Mexican labor produces.
But not the bed that was made, not the omelet that was fried.
Right. So certain jobs can't be replaced. Many jobs can. I would expect that the wage impacts of immigration to be greater than the wage impacts of trade, but you're not going to magically raise living standards for low-wage workers just by eliminating immigration.
Steve Camerata, President Bush, interestingly, has suggested a three-year temporary worker status, but didn't talk very explicitly about the possibility of renewal. What are you expecting is in the woodwork here?
Yeah, I guess I would have to disagree with your previous, the person from the Wall Street Journal. If it goes to 6 years, that doesn't really necessarily give them any leg up on a green card what I think that the Chamber of Commerce and the business community doesn't mind the idea of sort of indefinitely temporary. That is, so you have to renew it every 3 years. And
yep.
you sort of, like the Turks in Germany, they're on the second and third generation. That's just fine with America's business community if we have a kind of serf class in the United States that you know, can't vote, can't serve on juries, doesn't have full legal rights, but has enough. And
okay, we know you're tough with the politics here, but are they really precluded at a certain point from trying to get that green card, from getting into the residency status? I mean, why would they be a permanent serf class?
Well, see, the thing of it is that most of them will never qualify for green cards, because to qualify for a green card, you'd have to have a brother who could sponsor you, and you would have to make sure that you were under the per country limits, or you'd have to fall in love and marry an American, or you'd have to win the diversity lottery. These are all avenues that some will be able to access as part of the normal legal immigration process, but the vast majority of the 8 to 10 million illegals in the U.S. will never be able to qualify in one of those categories, and so potentially they'll just keep renewing their temporary status as long as we allow them, and then when we don't allow them, they'll just go back to being illegal. I mean, that's sort of what you'd expect.
Gordon Hanson, this is a tough picture. Do you anticipate this as well, that you could have workers classed as temporary workers going 3 year after 3 year after 3 year stint, maybe they're lifelong, maybe multiple generations?
Well, this is the other major detail that the Bush administration has to work out. In order to incorporate that group of illegal immigrants into the legal labor force, you need to either increase permanent legal immigration by means other than family reunification, that is, by allowing employers to sponsor some of these individuals to become permanent legal immigrants, or you need to be willing to send back home individuals who've worn out their welcome in terms of not being able to renew their temporary immigration status.
But Steve's saying perhaps they'd be permitted to renew perpetually, creating a kind of new labor underclass that's legal.
Well, it's if that were the outcome, what we would end up with is something between the environment we have now, where these individuals are all illegal immigrants,
yes,
and an environment where a full amnesty, granting them full legal status.
Boy, talk about big, difficult issues. Alyssa is calling from Boston. Hi, Alyssa, you're on the air.
Yes, I was calling because while I agree wholeheartedly with what President Bush is doing, and I must say I usually don't agree with his policies, the one thing, though, I think really should get done and should also be addressed more is the fact that if wages were improved here in the U.S. as well as some sort of living wage law around the world, it would, one, give more jobs to Americans that they can live on, and second, it would be less of a reason sometimes for some of these people to be coming to the U.S. for jobs when they live in a country where if the government may be fine, but the wages themselves are so depressed that they can't afford to live there.
So it'd be great if everybody globally had a living wage, but since that doesn't appear to be right around the corner, Alyssa, are you happy to see legal status given to these currently illegal workers in the United States?
Yes, because they get treated so poorly as it is because they are illegal and people know that they can be abused or just sent home. They're not getting proper rights, and they're not treated with any type of respect, and they're not getting other basic services that they need here.
So it's a matter of mercy and decency right now for the people already in this circumstance, for you.
Yes, definitely.
Alyssa, thanks for your call. Steve Camarota, how about that? We're talking about millions of people who are doing, you know, some pretty low-down dirty work for Americans here. Don't they deserve some kind of respect? It's a fact that's going on year after year. Can we just ignore it?
Well, I would say that I would be more persuaded of the wisdom of that position if simply enforcing the law was not possible, but I think we could enforce the law at a reasonable cost. We've seen it already with Pakistanis, just some moderate efforts to sort of monitor people and let everyone know that the immigration law was back in business. We think that the number of illegal aliens from Pakistan was something like 40,000, according to the INS, and that number's fallen just with some very modest efforts of people going home.
But Pakistan's half a world away. We've got this huge border with Mexico. We've all seen the video of how hard it is to control the people dying to get in, and then 8, 12, 14 million already here undocumented.
Right, but what I'm saying is that If we were to enforce the law, I think we'd see very significant return migration. The INS estimates that 150,000 illegal aliens go home on their own each year, 50,000 gets deported, and it turns out about 200,000 actually get green cards each year. So the out-migration from illegal status is actually very large. So all we would need to do is significantly reduce the number coming in, modestly even reduce the number going out, and increase it more, and the problem would take care of itself over time. President Bush, though, has chosen not to enforce the law. And this is one of the big things that this means, is that everyone who's played by the rules, everyone who's waited their turn, it mocks them. It makes them look like fools and dupes for having played by the rules.
Waiting year after year after year.
That's one of the biggest objections. That's why when you survey Hispanics, not Hispanic leaders, there isn't any support for increasing immigration. There isn't any support for legalization. Or you find the community is split and not sure.
Well, I wonder about that. I mean, George Bush is, and his people are not fools politically, and they've mm-hmm. placed a big political bet here on this winning them support in the Hispanic community.
Yeah, but look at Gray Davis and the driver's license. Didn't win him support in the Hispanic community, and he had lots of advisors who told him it would, and he lost some over 40, you know, Cruz Bustamante barely got half the Hispanic vote, and the Hispanic vote went to a large share of it went to people who were against the driver's license.
And the Terminator is in the seat. Steve Camerata, Gordon Hanson, please stand by. I want to welcome into our conversation from Los Angeles in California, a hotel worker, undocumented. Her name is Maria. Maria, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, Maria. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Can you tell us what your job is in Los Angeles?
Yes, I work at the hotel. I'm a minibar attendant.
Minibar attendant. So you're going through the hotel restocking the minibar all day?
Yes.
And you are undocumented. How did you enter the United States?
Can you repeat that?
How did you come to the United States? How did you enter the country, Maria?
Oh, I came with another person because I have no legally document. So I came on the mountain.
Through the mountains. And are you Mexican? Did you come from Mexico?
Yes.
Maria, did you pay attention to President Bush's speech today? Do you know what he wants to do? Do you think it's a good idea?
I have no many information about it, but I know something. Yesterday I watched the news, so they said something. So today my coworkers was talking about something about that. So my opinion, it's a good idea, but it's not a. It's a good plan. Maybe it's not what we want.
What do you want, Maria? What would you really like?
I want some plan what I help me to stay here for a long time, not for short time, you know?
So 3 years is not enough for you?
No, it's not, because sometimes the company don't pay much money for legally, so we can get a lot of money on 3 years. So, you know,
Maria, how much are you paid per hour now?
How much they paid?
Yes.
$6.75, I think.
Mm-hmm. So you're already getting the same amount of money basically that you would make under this plan. So, do you think that that President Bush, you're saying he hasn't got the full idea here yet?
No, he hasn't. I think he's he wants something fast, because he wants to win his what position he has.
Maria, do you have relatives in the United States who are American citizens, who are legal residents?
No.
So in your case, that doesn't really qualify. And have you ever been approached by immigration officials? Have they ever tried to send you home to Mexico?
Not yet.
And do you think that there are Americans who would like to do your job if you didn't have it?
Oh yes, they like it, because the Latin people, we are worked hard than the American people.
Harder. Oh, so you're saying the employer is happy to have you as a Mexican immigrant doing the work?
Yes.
Maria, it looks like it could be a long time before this is all sorted out, but we thank you for your perspective tonight. Thank you for joining us from Los Angeles.
Thank you. Thank you very much, you too.
Maria works as an undocumented hotel worker in L.A. Mike is calling from La Crosse, Wisconsin. Hi, Mike. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, Mike. You're on the air.
Oh, okay. It's Jerry. I just don't see it. I really don't. I am just so disappointed over the whole thing. I don't think that they should do this. They did this once before. I live in Indiana. I'm a truck driver.
Okay.
And we just have more and more and more illegals coming in. And like her, when I get a job, I have to show proof of citizenship, Social Security, and everything. How did she get employed? I know people that would love to have these jobs and can't get them because they pay so little they can't support a family. My wife being one of them, and they're giving them to these people. I went for a temporary job one time, and they wouldn't take me because I didn't speak a separate language, being Spanish. And everybody in the waiting room, and this is in Indiana.
And
everybody in the waiting room was Hispanic.
But Jerry, President Bush is saying today there are jobs that Americans don't want, and if we find willing workers overseas, let's give them a legal way to come in and do those jobs.
Well, you know, we have those people here now. You see what? We have those people here now.
They're here, but they're not legal, so they're not covered. They don't necessarily get minimum wage or proper protections as in the workplace.
Well, that part I do agree with, yeah. But, I mean, the way I feel is why might as well just open our borders, make them all completely free.
Jerry, we got it. Thanks very much for calling in there from Indiana. Gordon,
can I make a brief comment on that?
Yes.
I think what he's telling us, though, is that when you hear people say jobs Americans don't want, what it is upper and middle class Americans really saying jobs they don't want. But for the large share of American population who say have only a high school education or less, which is about 45% of the population, these are often exactly the kinds of jobs they do. As I say, there are millions of Americans who clean hotel rooms and clean pools and are construction laborers. But the problem is they're not that well represented in our political process. And so that's why you can have someone with a straight face say, well, these are jobs Americans don't want. What they really mean is middle class me doesn't want them.
Gordon Hanson, you hear the distress in the voice of the caller from Indiana there saying, look, my wife wouldn't mind having these jobs. As an economist, what's your response to him?
Well, let me give another part of the story. If you look at parts of the country that have been losing workers, workers born in the U.S. For decades, the Plain States, parts of the Southeast,
mm-hmm.
where local workers don't want to work in meatpacking plants, they don't want to clean and wash poultry. Those jobs have been taken by immigrants, keeping those industries alive. Those industries would have disappeared in the absence of immigrants, many of them illegal, moving into Nebraska, moving into Kansas, moving into Arkansas, and other parts of the country. There is an element of truth. At the same time, the caller notes that, well, immigrants compete with workers who are already here for jobs. That is a simple economic fact associated with immigration. Just like any other aspect of globalization, it creates winners and it creates losers, apart from whatever the national impacts in the overall economy might be.
And with 8 to 12 undocumented workers already in the country, the borders are to some extent, as Jerry suggested, already open. Gordon Hanson, Steve Camerota, please stand by. We're talking tonight about President Bush's big new push on immigration reform. Will this reform stem the tide of illegal aliens, or will it encourage more? Does this reform reward illegal workers, lawbreakers, or bring them justice? We're at 1-800-423-8255. This is On Point. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking tonight about President Bush's big new push on immigration reform to bring undocumented workers above ground to legally take the jobs he says Americans do not want. You can join our conversation tonight. Are you for it? Are you for the change? Are you ready to throw legal status and protections to illegal workers? Will anything stop the flow of undocumented workers who want a job in America, legal or not? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Arthur's calling from Binborough, Pennsylvania. Hi, Arthur. You're on the air.
Good
Good evening.
My view is this. I do not oppose. I do not oppose allowing illegal or immigrants to take jobs.
Okay.
But I believe that this move on the part of President Bush is purely political.
Why? What indicates that to you?
I think he's after the Hispanic vote, of course, because it's very crucial whether he gets elected or appointed next time around.
Well, what does it matter if it's political, if it achieves the outcome that you say you approve of?
The outcome is simply this. I don't think there are that many Americans that are really not willing to take these jobs, especially if he gets elected or appointed for another 4 years and more Americans get fired and so and jobs go overseas. I think the people that want this are the employers that don't want to pay the going wage and provide the proper benefits and protections.
So you're sympathetic to the workers who could use illegal workers who could use some more coverage, but you're not convinced that the president's going to push for real protection for them or American workers.
Exactly correct. I've heard several of your previous callers, and most of them are right on the mark.
Arthur, we've got it. Thanks very much for your call. Steve Camarada, how do you interpret the politics of this decision? President Bush is up against some very stiff opposition from Republicans in Congress. They're already coming down pretty hard on him. Do you think he's got as much to gain here politically as he appears to be betting with this?
Yeah, I think his bet is that he's going to throw it out there. He's going to be able to say to the Chamber of Commerce, look, I tried. Now you go win the votes in Congress. And he's going to be able to say to at least some segment of the Hispanic community, though it looks like most of them are lining up against it because it's a guest worker, not a green card. But he's going to say, see, I tried. I'm interested in this issue and throw that out there. And then he's going to let it die. Everything I hear in Washington is that this is not that serious a proposal that they're throwing it out there. He'll talk about a constructive dialogue, blah, blah, blah. I'm committed to this, but he's just not going to push it. It divides his own party, and all the Democrats are going to line up against it. So politically, it's deader than a can of corned beef, but at least it lets him say to some groups sometimes, hey, I tried. And that's what probably it's about. And, you know, politics is a lot about form and symbolism and so forth, and that appears to be what's going on here.
And it lets him talk warmly with his old friend Vicente Fox,
right, exactly.
Mexican president, who he called today to outline the proposal. Gordon Hanson, what's your sense of how important this is to Vicente Fox's government in Mexico City? Does he need this this bone from George Bush? George Bush promised this a long time ago. 9/11 got in the way. Is it important to Vicente Fox?
Well, it's not as important as it would have been a couple of years ago. The damage has already been done.
What do you mean by that?
Well, Vicente Fox staked his presidency on a close relationship with the United States and what he could get out of working with George Bush. That looked like a good strategy up until 9/11. And after that, when Bush turned tail and left Fox standing cold, Vicente Fox has been ineffectual in part because he's had no basis of support for pushing a binational agreement with the United States. Now, coming back at this point in Vicente Fox's administration is going to mean a little bit politically for him, but unless Fox is able to deliver the goods, it's unlikely to change his political situation drastically in Mexico.
But at least George Bush can say to him next week in Monterrey, Mexico, at the OAS meeting, Vicente, I'm trying. Kenny's calling from Smithfield, North Carolina. Hi, Kenny. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Great, thanks.
I'd just like to speak for the agriculture workers. I'm a farmer.
Great.
And I would have to disagree with, first and foremost, the guy from Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
In the southeast region. I can't speak for the whole country. I'm going to speak for what I know of this area.
Okay, what do you see there, Kenny? What do you see there?
Well, the bottom line is, Americans don't want to work in these hard jobs. And there are some that will take them. But then they want to sit around and not do a whole lot.
Kenny,
I'm speaking for facts. I employ agriculture workers, and the American folks don't really want the jobs. And I am raising my salaries. My salary, my beginning salary, $7.50 an hour for farm labor.
And you're paying that.
And I've got guys that are making as much as $10 an hour.
And Kenny, I want to be sure I understand. You're paying that to undocumented workers.
Yes.
And that's
the same pay I would pay to an American person if they wanted to do the job.
And what crop do you raise, Kenny?
Well, just general farm crops. Anything from tobacco is one of the main crops here. But I'm involved in a lot of association, agricultural associations.
Yeah.
And I hear this all throughout all kinds of agriculture, anything from nursery to the grain industry to the just regular row crop industry.
And what's the nationality of most of the undocumented workers that you end up employing?
Oh, Mexican, absolutely. But like I said, I mean, I'm paying anywhere. My beginning pay is $750.
Yeah,
I've got guys that have been with me for a couple years, undocumented, that are making $850.
And are you saying? I want to be sure I understand. Are you saying you cannot find American workers who will come and take the job, or that when you hire them, they won't do the work?
I would say a huge percentage of them don't actually want to even apply for that work, and then the few that do. We have all kinds of problems. They either strung out on drugs or not all of them. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want
someone
to come back and say, well, he was against those kind of people because they did drugs. You know, but I had to fire one guy because he was drinking on the job. He was taking drinks on, in throughout the day, things like that.
Can you hang with me for a second here? I want to put your view through to Steve Camerota and get his response. Steve?
Well, obviously, agriculture would be the profession where it's most difficult to attract Americans. But again, what we see is, you know, $8-$9 an hour, but it's probably seasonal. Does he offer health insurance benefits? The other thing is, if he had to pay $10 or $12 or $15 an hour, he'd certainly be able to find more people. And if he offered health benefits, he'd be able to find more. Or alternatively, he could do what they do in Australia. They don't have a lot of unskilled illegal aliens coming in. Rather, they simply have a much more mechanized agriculture. But it's perfectly understandable that a farmer who can't control the price of produce and can't control the weather wants his government to help him keep labor costs down, wants it so that he doesn't have to invest in the latest and greatest technology. But that doesn't mean it's a good deal for us, because what happens is, A, we get a much larger low-wage workforce, which is an enormous burden on taxpayers, because there's an absolute consensus in the literature that immigrants with very little education don't pay much in taxes, even when they work on the books, but tend to use a lot of services, because in the modern American economy, people with very little education don't make much money. So it's perfectly understandable that the farmer says, hey, I got a job, I got a worker, what's the problem? He doesn't see those diffuse costs on taxpayers as his problem. He said, look, he may see it when he goes to the emergency room in his local town and he can't get in because of all the uninsured people. But until that moment, it doesn't really occur to him. It all looks like a good deal. But it would be make a lot more sense if we forced Kenny to pay workers more, treat them better by reducing the supply of labor, and force them to invest in the labor-saving device.
Kenny, what do you say? You ready to pay $15 an hour in full health bennies?
Well, that's kind of interesting. Down in the Southeast, once again, I can't speak for the whole nation.
Yes.
My wife is an RN, a registered nurse.
Okay.
Her beginning pay, which she's been there for 10 years, but her beginning pay, well, let me take that back. The beginning pay today is $17 an hour.
Okay.
So he wants me to pay $15 an hour to a guy to do
a farmhand
labor, a farm laborer, who's not been to 4 years of college and had any kind of skill training.
So it doesn't add up to you. Kenny, we've got to cut it here, but we appreciate your call very much and that kind of firsthand picture of what you're faced with. Gordon Hanson, once again, the economist listening to this, where does it leave you ending up? Does the U.S. economy need this labor pool? Is it a real option not to have it?
The estimate suggests that overall immigration is a net benefit for the U.S. economy. There's an immigration surplus that comes from when we bring in additional labor to use the technology, the capital, the land, and resources that we have available to us in the United States. But immigration also creates losers. There are segments of the labor force that lose out as a result of increased competition that comes from having to compete with immigrants for jobs.
And just in the half minute we have left, do you have the same skepticism that Steve Camerota expresses that this will ever become law?
This particular initiative may not be going very far, but we've got 8 million illegal immigrants running around this country. What are we going to do about it?
What are we going to do about it? And many of them not working in great conditions. Maybe this will end up helping them out. Boy, it's going to ripple through big, however it ripples through. Gordon Hanson, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Thanks very much.
Gordon Hanson, professor of economics at the University of California, San Diego. And Steve Camerota, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I should point out that I, too, am an economist.
Oh, well then, two economists right here with us tonight. Steve, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Steve Camerata, Director of Research at the Center for Immigration Studies. Listeners, you can continue this conversation on our website. Go to onpointradio.org and click on forums. In a moment, some families of 9/11 victims come out against the new World Trade Center memorial. This is On Point. Next week, the complete design for the September 11th memorial at the World Trade Center in New York will be revealed in a high-profile unveiling. But the winning entry is already being criticized by family members of those who died in the 9/11 attacks. Many are calling the design too pleasant and too watered down to capture the horror of the worst terrorist attacks in the nation's history. Lee Ayelpi is a board member of the Coalition for 9/11 Families. In this radio diary, he shares his objections to the plan for the September 11th memorial.
These plans do not reflect the severity of 9/11. They are sterile. They are generic. They will not, 50 years from now, 100 years from now, will not be understood by anyone, and I'm very concerned as far as that goes. Plus, this memorial is at grade level, which means it's going to be used as a thoroughfare from the World Finance Center on one side of West Street to all of the big 50-plus story buildings they're building on the other side of Greenwich Street. It's going to be a thoroughfare of people going back and forth, back and forth. And in a matter of years, it'll become, let's go down and have our lunch down in the park. That's not the atmosphere that I think you would want to bring your children to, or your children's children to let them see the worst attack in our country's history, and this is the way it's being portrayed. They should incorporate some of the artifacts that were at that site for months, such as the North Tower wall, which stood for months, the South Tower wall, the outside skeleton, which stood for months, which all of you across the country see on your calendars, books, pictures. Portray it. Don't facade it. Don't sugarcoat it. It was a bad day. Almost 2,800 people died that day. Out of 2,800 people, there are only 292 whole bodies. There'll never be anything more than that. 19,938 body parts. Don't sugarcoat it. Portray it the way it was, the worst attack in our history. Don't facade it. My son Jonathan, New York City firefighter, he was in a special company, a squad company, 29 years old, married, two children. He was in the South Tower with all of his guys. My son is one of the 292 whole bodies. My family was blessed to be able to bring home our son and put him to bed at home where he belongs. The rest of the people either have nothing, and there's still like 1,400 people that have nothing, or they have a piece. Plus, all of the citizenry that saw that day, that watched those things come down, we've all been traumatized. The people here in the city that actually watched it with their eyes will forever have it in their brains. And we're going to sugarcoat it. The memorial has been, unfortunately, a second thought, an afterthought, where in reality it should have been, we'll build a memorial and then we'll figure out what can go around it. And it hasn't been that way.
Lee Ayelpi is a board member for the Coalition for 9/11 Families. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.